This is Madison Watson and Jamie Marara for Archive Uloga interviewing Mrs. Christy Harper, who is a science teacher at Uloga High School.
So our first question for you is, have you always lived in Uloga?
I have not. I didn't move into Uloga until after the 1991 tornado. I moved in January of 1992. We moved here because my dad got the job here for ag teaching, and he started in the fall of 92 or 91, and my mom and I moved up in the spring of 92 after we sold our house, and that was when I was in the third grade. So I've been here since I was 8 years old.
Wow.
Yes.
Could you tell us about your education and teaching background?
Okay, so this is interesting because I don't always follow the normal standard rules of things. I like to do things the odd way. So, of course, since I was from Uloga, I graduated here from Uloga High School, and I went on to Missouri Southern State University to become an athletic trainer. My goal was ultimately to be the athletic trainer for the Cleveland Indians. That was a little lofty of a goal, but that was still my goal. So my head athletic trainer encouraged me to major in biology instead of kinesiology, because if I decided not to be an athletic trainer, I had more options that way. So I did. My senior year of college, I taught an orientation class for college athletes, and then I had athletes come back to me and ask me to help with their schedules and things like that. And so what I realized that senior year was I had more of a passion for teaching and helping the kids than I did from the medical aspect of it. So I decided to go into teaching. It was easier for me to finish my biology degree and then do the alternative certification route for education, which is what I did. So I did take a few more classes at NSU and Broken Arrow to finish up the requirements for education. And then I became a teacher a year later. I then decided to get my master's degree. I chose curriculum and instruction, and I also got that at Missouri Southern. Once I finished that, I decided that I would go ahead and sit for the principal's exam to see if I could pass it. I did, but because my degree, my master's is not in administration, I am now currently taking additional classes at the University of Oklahoma for some administration coursework so I can continue to keep my administration certification. So basically, I do everything backwards, but it's okay.
How long have you been teaching here at Uloga?
This is my 12th year here at Uloga. Uloga was my very first job. I was hired by the principal that I actually had when I was in high school, so that was really kind of cool. And it was also really cool that I now teach with some of my former teachers, which was very odd to start with, but it's been really cool since. So, yeah.
What is your goal in getting your administration license?
I like to have options. So first I got curriculum and instruction because really I had no interest in being a principal. I really like the curriculum background part. I love testing. I love all that data and that, the scheduling, all that stuff that goes behind that. So being certified administratively just gives me more options as far as job possibilities. I could be a curriculum director, or I could be a testing coordinator of a larger district where I literally, that's all I do is deal with testing. So it's just, it gives me more options as far as career choices. But, yeah.
So you talked about moving away from being a sports trainer and, mm-hmm. and deciding to teach. So what was it that really drew you to teaching?
Honestly, it was really helping kids. I mean, more than anything, it was if they had a problem, if they needed help figuring out what to do, it was really rewarding for me to help them get there, whether that was helping them plan their schedule or whether it was helping somebody understand how mitosis works. It was just, and yeah, there's obviously good days and bad days when it's teaching, but when the kid gets something, when that light bulb moment clicks, or even when they teach somebody else and they're so proud of themselves because they knew it well enough to teach somebody else, that's what makes teaching worthwhile for me.
So we've heard that you've gone from athletic training to teaching, but let's go way back.
Oh, way back, okay.
What was your dream job when you were in kindergarten?
Well, not kindergarten per se. I really didn't know what I was going to do in kindergarten. Actually, no, I did. sorry. I was going to be a nurse. But then my mom told me I didn't have any compassion, so I couldn't be a nurse. And then when I was in first grade, I really liked my first grade teacher, so I wanted to be a first grade teacher, like Mrs. Kirkwood. And then I really didn't have anything in particular throughout growing up. I remember my freshman math teacher, Mr. Parker, told me that because I was so good at geometry and numbers and things, that I should be an actuary. And so I remember Mrs. Krieger, who was my English teacher all 4 years of high school, asked us, like on the very first, or not first day of freshman year, sometime in those 4 years I had her, asked what we wanted to do, like what would our dream job be? Hers was Minnie Mouse at Disney World, and I said actuary, because that's what I had a teacher tell me that I would be good at. I didn't even know what an actuary was or anything else. And so I'm sure I would have been good at that, but it's probably not very people involved. So I think I work with people. I need that interaction with kids or adults or whatever it may be. So yeah.
Is there anything you miss about being a trainer that you don't get in this show?
The athletics part. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was really cool being on the sideline of sports and things like that. So that was really cool. I still get that to a degree here because obviously I go to a lot of the football games and basketball games and even I've even been to swimming and things like that. So I'm still really involved in sports. It's still a passion for me. But yeah, that whole just being on the sideline and being part of almost like the team and kind of being on the back end of things is really kind of cool. So
even though you've been learning extensively about administration and curriculum, what you teach kids every day is chemistry and biology. So mm-hmm. why is that so important for us to know?
Chemistry and biology?
Mm-hmm.
Without chemistry and biology, you would have no idea how your body works or how you actually survive on a day-to-day basis. So chemistry is a little bit, it's easy to have kids relate to biology because they're like, oh yeah, like I breathe, I do cellular respiration, things like that. Like that makes sense. But for chemistry, I think a lot of kids don't realize the actual chemical stuff that they're doing on a day-to-day basis, from whether it's even converting a recipe or baking cookies, that's chemistry. They don't realize that, but it is. So it's really important to get kids to make that real-life connection. It's not just chemistry. It's not just I have to learn what an ion is or whatever else. It's understanding how it affects the big picture. So one of the things we get to do this year is go to a micro creamery, which is they make small batches of ice cream, and the guy that owns it is going to teach us how just making ice cream has such a chemical background as far as pHs and combinations of ingredients and how you're going to get certain flavors and things like that. So I think it's all about really addressing how it relates to the real world, and then once they make that connection, it's much easier for them to learn.
What teachers or mentors have had the biggest impact on you?
So I remember answering this very question when I was in a college interview for a scholarship, and I mentioned Coach Smith. And so immediately the interviewer kind of looked at me like you just did, like, oh my gosh, you just said a coach. But Coach Smith was first and foremost a teacher. He was my world history teacher in high school. And he was the first teacher I ever had where I enjoyed learning history. He was a coach second. He kind of fell into coaching because it was, hey, we need a coach for this. And he's like, okay. So his first love was teaching. He was here at Ulaga for a long time. He left to get his doctorate. And now he teaches at TCC in Tulsa, and we are still good friends on Facebook. He is now an author, so he's written a couple books, and so he'll always send me invitations to come see his book signings and things like that. So he will always have that impact on my life as being, yeah, you were a coach, but you really thought teaching was first and foremost. And again, it was one of those enjoyable classes on a subject that I throughout my entire career never enjoyed, and I had him my senior year. And so some of the things that he did in his class I now do as a teacher in my classes. So
without throwing out any names, especially since you went to Ulaga, what was your least favorite teacher like?
So obviously this teacher's not here anymore. And it's not, I didn't like teachers that didn't teach things. And I think that kind of makes me the teacher I am, because I wanted to go into a classroom and I wanted to, and not like in a nerdy way learn, but I wanted it to be purposeful. So when I went in the classroom, there was a reason why I needed to be in there. There was something I was supposed to learn or do or whatever it may be. And while this teacher was a very fun teacher, considered very fun, I don't know a single thing I actually learned in that class from start to finish, simply because he didn't teach anything. And so I want to make sure that whoever steps into my classroom, no matter the difficulty level of the coursework or whatever it may be, comes out learning something, or have at least been challenged, or they didn't feel like it was a waste of time being in there for the whole year.
So staying on your experience as a high school student, mm-hmm. what advice would you give your teenage self?
I know I didn't study when I was in high school. I just didn't. But I didn't have to. I was, not that I was naturally gifted per se, not that somebody could just tell me something I would remember it, but it was just not as challenging as I needed it to be on a lot of levels to where I really had to study or really had to put a whole lot of effort in. And I was a little bit lazy. So on things that I actually had to put effort in, I generally would procrastinate, which obviously is not a great thing. And so things like that. So even from a teenage self, that definitely carried on into college, because I learned very quick that procrastination in college is not a great thing. And if you do not put the effort into the amount of studying you need or the amount of work you need to put into something, then it's not going to be a good outcome. So that would be my advice. Don't procrastinate, because I still kind of do from time to time.
And what other important lessons have you learned just for life in general?
Oh, that's rough. Life in general, lessons, just to be kind. You never know what is going to happen or how somebody's life has been before you meet them or during that moment or whatever it may be. And so I learned that lesson from both ends of that spectrum, as far as you never know somebody's back history, and so you never know what drives them to be who they are. So never assume that you know based on your own experiences. So just be open and kind.
What would you say is your primary motivation?
In life? I just like to be successful. I mean, and not that I have to have a super high-paying job or anything else, but my motivation is I want to be the best at what I do, or I want to make sure that I satisfy that own desire to do what I'm supposed to do. I don't come to work every day and go, oh, you know, no big deal, whatever it may be. I come to work because I'm a teacher, and it is my job to teach my kids, and I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be proud of myself. So my motivation is just to keep that kind of high standard of success or whatever it may be, as I just put in full effort in what I do. So that's what motivates me.
From your time being a high school student here and then all of your years of teaching, how has teaching changed?
Oh my gosh, so much. Really, so much. I mean, I still consider myself, I know it's not as good anymore, but I still consider myself a younger teacher. My students are now ones that were born the year I graduated, so that's not always the case. However, it's a different world. I personally, I see things that kids do now, and I'm like, did I do that in high school? Was I that kind of kid? Like, was that really me? So it's really hard to kind of look at both perspectives. So I think for the most part, in general, the 'cause like I said, it's been 17 years since I graduated high school, so about 20 years since I kind of had that full high school experience. And in that time, overall, not every kid, but overall, the attitude is a little bit more laid back. There's a little bit more entitlement, I would say, that occurs a little bit. I think teachers are able to be a little bit more casual with their students than it used to be. It used to be this, you know, really, you know, there's this big difference, and sometimes you don't, you're not able to build those appropriate relationships when there's such a, because you don't have that connection, that bond, or whatever it may be. So I think that's helped a little bit, where teachers and students can be more open with each other and things like that, as far as just kind of build those better relationships. But yeah, it's just, it's, I certainly wouldn't go back to high school. Never. I loved it, don't get me wrong, but it's just, it's different. It's just the way, of course, when I was in high school, we didn't have cell phones. They came out my sophomore, junior year, but of course, they, I mean, like, we could only make phone calls. We couldn't even text and things like that. So just social media and all of that is a completely different ball game for kids nowadays than it is when I was there. As far as information, just being at your fingertips is crazy. How, I don't want to say that you guys have it easy as far as that goes, but it's so much more accessible than it was for us. So that's, that makes for a really big difference as far as how things work. So, yeah.
Where do you think education is going in the future?
That's an excellent question. Just did a project on this in one of my classes. I think, obviously, we're going to continue to use technology. And I think, to a degree, it's going to become more personalized for individual students. And when I say that, not necessarily just saying, here, do this program on this computer, personalized, but really looking at each individual kid and kind of seeing what their path is going to be in life and kind of direct them toward classes or towards projects or towards people that would help them see what the potential is there. Obviously, that being able to do that is going to, you have to drop a lot of barriers. You have to drop, like, the schedules of a, you know, a strict go to this classroom this time to this time. And so I don't think it's in our future anytime soon, but I think we'll get there to where it's really more built on each kid and seeing what their future is and how, what's the best path to get them there. And that might be different for you or you or whoever else it may be. So
what things about Ulaga High School have stayed the same since you were here as a student?
The classes, of course. As far as the building, is still the same. It's fun times. It's really cool as a student here to still have classes and still have the library the same that I had. You know, like, to walk into a class and, like, okay, I was a student here and now I'm the teacher in the same classroom. That's really fun. The cafeteria is, of course, identical. The high school office and things like that is identical. What's really cool is the growth that we've had since I was in high school to now. My graduating class had 109 students, but my brother's class 3 years earlier only had 77. And so now the average class size is about 130, 140. So, and it's not a huge difference, but it's enough to where we've really had to expand the high school. And so the history hallway, if that's what you want to call it, was obviously much shorter when I was in high school than it is now. There were no cameras back when I was in high school, so there was not, like, this big brother kind of looking down on you. And it's not that we were any better or worse children as far as behavior and things. It was just that wasn't available back then, things like that. So,
what's your favorite thing about Ulaga High School?
I like, as far as, like, Ulaga in general, I like the sense of community that we have. I like that I can walk down the halls and know kids even if they haven't been in my classroom. I like the fact that, for the most part, our kids are really accepting of other kids. For the most part. I mean, obviously, you're always going to have, you know, here and there and things like that. But as far as, we really do embrace each other and our differences and things like that. And it's really important for me to be in an atmosphere that that's okay and that's normal and things like that. So I really like the smaller, close-knit type family community that we have here.
What would you say is central to the town of Ooligah?
I think, again, it comes back down to a sense of community. There's a lot of families that are here that have been here for decades. There's several families that continue to live here, continue to put their children through Ooligah schools simply because they know of the standard. They know the prestige that we have and that, you know, that sense of, can't think of the word I want to use. So anyway, just kind of that, I mean, it's a standard. It's everybody knows, hey, I go to Ooligah, that's a great school. You know, I went there as a kid. I'm going to make sure my kids go there. And so when you have that kind of school district and that kind of community, it stays very tight-knit. You have generation after generation after generation that are here. I now have students in my classes that their parents I went to high school with. And so it's really kind of cool to continue that. My very first group of students, my first 3 years, I knew their grandparents. And so it was one of those things that I was very lucky to have gotten my first job here because I continued that on. And now as I sit here, I'm like, you know, do I ever want to, you know, like leave this district? I'm so comfortable here and it's so inviting and friendly and things like that, but it's hard to kind of go into that unknown. So I do have family that are like, why would you ever want to stay in Ooligah? It's such a small town and things like that. And I'm like, but this is home. This is comfortable. This is my family, whether it's a personal relationship or as far as, you know, blood relative or somebody who I've been friends with for 25 years or just known for that long. So
just finally, what do you want the world to know about Ooligah? Why is our town important?
Well, you know, most of the world knows about Will Rogers, and obviously, you know, that's a big part of our town, but I think it's almost more of what Will Rogers portrays, that, again, it's just this simple city that we like each other, we accept each other, we support each other, we're just, it's like a good old kind of, you know, good old boy, I don't want to say good old boy, but it kind of is. I mean, you walk down the main street in town and you stop in the water office and you talk to the ladies in the water office. And why? Because you talk to the ladies in the water office. It's just what you do. So it's just a sense of like community and, you know, and then when you're at the water office, you walk across the street to the newspaper office and you say hi to those people because again, you know them and they're out and about too. And it's the way it is. It's kind of awesome. I love it.
Well, thank you for letting us interview you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I kind of like it.